This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
In the name of Allah, the Most Gracious, the Most Merciful.
والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن اهتدى بهديه واقتدى بسنته إلى يوم الدين وبعد. فقد قال جل وعلا في كتابه المجيد وفرقانه الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وَجَعَلْنَا بَعْضَكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ فِتْنَةً أَتَصْبِرُونَ وَكَانَ رَبُّكَ بَصِيرًا. وقال تعالى: يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اسْتَجِيبُوا لِلَّهِ وَلِلرَّسُولِ إِذَا دَعَاكُمْ لِمَا يُحْيِيكُمْ وَاعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَحُولُ بَيْنَ الْمَرْءِ وَقَلْبِهِ وَأَنَّهُ إِلَيْهِ تُحْشَرُونَ. وَاتَّقُوا فِتْنَةً لَا تُصِيبَنَّ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا مِنْكُمْ خَاصَّةً واعلموا ان الله شديد العقاب. وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم: ستكون فتنه صماء بكماء عمياء، من اشرف لها استشرفت له، واشراف اللسان فيها كوقوع السيف، او كما قال عليه الصلاه والسلام. Honorable scholars, respected brothers, elders, mothers and sisters, it is no secret that the planet has been gripped, rocked and plagued by turmoil, turbulence, mayhem, anarchy. Doom and gloom has covered the horizons. Despondency has practically seized the heart of every human. The vessel of humanity, if I may coin the phrase, is nudging against one iceberg after another. Political, social, economical, religious and otherwise. Every sane human, with no exception, regardless of his faith or denomination, is appalled by the carnage and the brutality that is playing out in the world. As Muslims, we are also appalled by what happens on the earth. But it is no surprise to us. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had spelled out the details 14 centuries ago. And he did not only spell it out, he equally provided us with the necessary immunization so we may inoculate ourselves, so that we may develop the sense of resistance to combat those fitnas. Imam Ahmad makes mention of the narration recorded by Abdullah ibn Amr radiyallahu anhu. He says, "Kunna ma'a Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fi safarin." We embarked on a journey with the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. "Fanazalna manzila," we halted at a location. "Faminna man yadribu khiba'ahu," some of us were busy erecting a tent, others were attending to other chores. When an announcer announced, a proclaimer proclaimed, "As-salatu jami'a," it is time for congregational prayer. In essence, a message to converge and assemble and congregate. فَانْتَهَيْتُ إِلَيْهِ, I swiftly made my way to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَهُوَ يَخْتُبُ النَّاسَ, he was delivering a sermon to those present, in which he said, إِنَّهُ لَمْ يَكُنْ نَبِيٌ قَبْلِي, there was no prophet that preceded me. إِلَّا كَانَ حَقًّا عَلَيْهِ, but that it was mandatory upon him. أَنْ يَدُلَّ أُمَّتَهُ عَلَى مَا يَعْلَمُهُ خَيْرًا لَهُمْ, to guide, steer and navigate his nation to every good and virtue. وَيُنْذِرُهُمْ مَا يَعْلَمُهُ شَرًّا لَهُمْ, and to warn and caution his nation against every trial, every challenge and every evil. أَلَا وَإِنَّ عَافِيَةَ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ فِي أَوَّلِهَا, And then he said the statement, remember the good days of this ummah, the glory of this ummah would be in its early days, in its beginning stages, in its infancy moments. The glory of this ummah at that time was such a level, my brothers and sisters, that Huzaifa ibn Yaman radiallahu anhu mentions, the hadith is in Bukhari, the environment was so pure, clean and pristine that I could enter into a transaction with anyone and everyone. If it was a believer, his faith wouldn't allow him to speak a lie. And if it was a disbeliever, society wouldn't allow him to speak a lie. Abu Sufyan, the hadith is in Bukhari. He was summoned by Hiraqal. He wasn't a believer at that time. And he was being interviewed about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He categorically, emphatically, explicitly said, I had an agenda. I wanted to be biased and prejudiced. And I wanted to tarnish the reputation of the paragon of Allah's creation. I was not in harmony. We couldn't see eye to eye. Wallahi lawla al-haya. Wallah, this is amazing, these words. But I was at the crossroads. Either I speak ill of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the king and the emperor will not be impressed, but then I will have to live with the stigma of a liar which I couldn't possibly digest. I could not imagine and digest the blemish of being a liar. Wallahi lawla al-haya. If it wasn't for the fear that society would soil my name as a liar, لَكَذِبْتُ عَنْهُ, I would have blatantly spoken ill against Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the interview began, and I don't want to digress into the interview. And he said, I kept it as candid and as accurate and as correct as possible. But due to the agenda within me, I was waiting for a niche to exploit and to adulterate the facts. And today you can see and you know printed media and journalism and sensationalization. Any man reading paper and media would know what I am speaking about. So here comes the question, هَلْ يَغْدِرْ? Does the man Muhammad ever perpetrate deceit, or does he deceive his people? And Abu Sufyan said the correct answer was that he doesn't deceive. But I wanted to sensationalize it. So I said, hang on, he hasn't yet deceived. Heaven knows what the future holds. I'm paraphrasing, obviously. When he walked out, he said, لَقَدْ أَمِرَ أَمْرُ بْنُ أَبِي كَبْشَ حَتَّى يَخَافَهُ مَلِكُ بَنِ الْأَصْفَرِ. Indeed, the faith of Muhammad has prospered that even the Roman emperors are trembling in their boots. When Sayyidina Abdul Rahman ibn Auf passed away, radiyallahu anhu wa arda, his body was carried by Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, radiyallahu anhu. His funeral prayer was led by Uthman bin Affan, radiyallahu anhu. Shayya'ahu Ali ibn Abi Talib, and he was lowered into the grave by none other than Ali ibn Abi Talib, radiyallahu anhu. And Ali, radiyallahu anhu, paid tribute to him, and he lauded him. And amongst the many things he said at his funeral, he said, أَدْرَقْتَ صَفْوَهَا سَبَقْتَ زَيْفَهَا يَرْحَمُكَ اللَّهُ. Oh, Abdul Rahman, I am green with envy for you. You seen the glory of this ummah. You were rescued from the turmoil of this ummah. May Allah shower your soul with perpetual blessings. You seen the great days. When I say great days, my brothers, I'm not suggesting that there were no challenges. But it was that era where the pain of one was literally the pain of others. So here Umar ibn Khattab is sitting in Medina. Amr ibn As is in the seat of Egypt. There is drought and famine that has gripped the Madianites. Umar radiallahu anhu sends one letter to Egypt. Ila Amr ibn As. Amma ba'd. Oh, when I read this, my hair stood up. He said, فَإِنَّكَ لَا تُبَالِي فَإِنَّكَ لَا تُبَالِي إِذَا شَبِعْتَ أَنْتَ وَمَنْ مَعَكَ أَنْ أُهْلَكَ أَنَا وَمَنْ مَعِي فَيَا غَوْثَا فَيَا غَوْثَا. He said, O Amr, you are sitting soft. Your belly is satiated. Your thirst is quenched. You have amenities and luxuries around you. You've been pampered by all these embellishments. It doesn't look like you are concerned about myself and my fellow colleagues. Do assist, do assist. When Sayyidina Umar receives this letter, he trembles. You and I can see carnage. You and I can see brutality. Leave anything else. Our program of going to a club and a pub is not altered. He says, Labbaik, Faya Labbaik. Oh, what beautiful words. Oh, Umar, I have responded. Your words have not fallen on deaf ears. وَقَدْ بَعَثْتُ إِلَيْكَ بِعِيرٍ I've dispatched a caravan of a train of camels, the first of which will be in Medina and the last will still be in Egypt. وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ Today when a place is rocked with a crisis, then we hear these people making commitments of great chunks of wealth that will come in, making great pledges. Before that wealth comes in, that location is rocked with a second tragedy. The first funds haven't come in, that place has become volatile for the second time. Ala wa inna ghafiyata hadhihi al-umma fi awwaliha, the glory of this ummah would be in its beginning stages. وَسَيُصِيبُ آخِرُهَا بَلَاءٌ وَفِتَنٌ And those who are going to live to see the latter part, tell them to brace themselves for some doom and gloom that inevitably is going to face them. تَجِيءُ الْفِتْنَةِ My Nabi said, a fitna will come. It will grip an individual. It will consume his intellect. فَيَقُولُ هَذِهِ مُهْلِكَتِي He will say, oh my Lord, I am aging by the minute. Allah, this is draining me on every front. My resources are exhausted. It's depleted. ثُمَّ تَنْكَشِفْ After a period of time, grappling with that difficulty, he'll make his way through. يُثَبِّتُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِالْقَوْلِ الثَّابِتِ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ Allah hasn't promised that He would save a believer from the challenges of this world. But Allah has promised by virtue of established faith, Allah will give him strength in those difficulties. ثُمَّ تَنْكَشِفْ There will be the slight opening, there'll be a gap, there'll be a breather. Just when he's about to sigh with relief, تَجِيءُ الْفِتْنَةِ The Prophet ﷺ says the second fitna will grip him. Oh my Allah, this is more severe than the first one. I thought I developed heart problems. I had cardiac failure. I became diabetic. I became a chronic patient due to the first situation. Let me contextualize it. Let me contextualize it. We're in a global village. Your challenges are no different to me on the continent of Africa. So the first fitna, by way of example, a man discovers that his son is possessed by a demon. He's got erratic behavior. The shenanigans is out of control. He's really causing chaos and mayhem at house. The man is desperate going from one traditional healer to another, from one scholar to another. Finally, he sees some hope and some light at the end of the tunnel. And just when he comes out of this year, news reaches him that his second son has fallen prey to the temptation of drugs and now he's sitting in some rehab or unfortunately he's peddling substance abuse. Oh my Allah, this is really eating me up by the minute and the second. Again, the Nabi of Allah says it will toll on him, it will eat on him, it will consume him. Then there will come again an opening. And just when there comes the opening, then the third fitna will come and the doorbell rings and I'm contextualizing it in my own words. And what is it? His daughter with three kids, the marriage has broken up because the son-in-law is guilty of infidelity. And the Nabi of Allah said, the fitna will continue. But more challenging than that fitna is, you would be tempted to forsake your iman the most. So one is dealing with this, but it will take such a toll on you that anybody who offers you any support, rescue, even if it means momentarily, you will embrace it without realizing the implications of what you do and say. يَبِيعُ دِينَهُ بِعَرَضٍ مِّنَ الدُّنْيَا Offer him, dangle a candy before him, and that's the end of Islam in his life. Imam Hakim makes mention of the narration. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu records it. He mentions it. The Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited the verse, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا. Where the Quran prophesizes the time where scores and multitudes of people will enter into Islam. The Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ لَيَخْرُجُنَّ مِنْهُ أَفْوَاجًا كَمَا دَخَلُوا فِيهِ أَفْوَاجًا. I swear by Allah, just as people will enter Islam in droves and scores and multitudes, they will also exit Islam in those same numbers. Nu'aym ibn Hammad makes mention of it in Kitab al-Fitan. Abdullah ibn Amr radiallahu anhu said, لَيَأْتِيَنَّ عَلَى النَّاسِ زَمَانٌ. A time is to come. يَتَمَنَّ الرَّجُلُ ذُو الشَّرَفِ وَالْمَالِ وَالْوَلَدِ. A man with health, wealth, fame, economic muscle, financial stability, all going good for this man, he would become the most desirous and envious of death. Why? مِمَّا يَرَى مِنَ الْبَلَى مِنْ وُلَاتِهِمْ. Because of the tyranny, the oppression, the exploitation of the rulers, the monarchs, the autocrats, and the dogmatic rulers of the time. It would become too difficult for him to see this, he would become envious of death. Nu'aym ibn Hammad also mentions in Kitab al-Fitan, reference to Abdullah ibn Amr radiallahu anhu, يَتَمَنَّى فِيهِ الْمُؤْمِنِ. A believer will desire, لَوْ أَنَّهُ فِي فُلْكٍ مَشْحُونٍ هُوَ وَأَهْلُهُ. I wish I can board a vessel and float in the water, and he would despise returning to earth, مِمَّا فِي الْأَرْضِ مِنْ شِدَّةِ الْبَلَىٰ, due to the extreme tyranny that would grip the face of this earth. The hadith I quoted in the beginning, Imam Abu Dawud records it, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu mentions it, the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, سَتَكُونُ فِتْنَا. There will be such types of trials and fitna, Samma bakma amya, blind, deaf and dumb. That's the description, the prophetic description. The scholars of hadith say, بِإِعْتِبَارِ أَصْحَابِهَا. The fitna per se will not be blind, deaf and dumb, but it will leave its victim blind, deaf and dumb. Visually impaired. Their hearing ability will be seized. What is meant? They would have no idea how to navigate. Furthermore, the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَإِشْرَافُ اللِّسَانِ مَنْ أَشْرَفَ لَهَا. My words. When these fitnas will come in surface, whoever will probe it, whoever will explore it, whoever will inch close to it, it will just swallow him in. So the closer you come, you increase your vulnerability. You elevate the chances and you become more susceptible to the crime. If you eavesdrop, it will just swallow you in. There was a sister that rang me up and she said, my son unfortunately had taken to drugs and to intoxicants. And we had a bad period and we took him to rehab and we tried to stabilize and rehabilitate him. Back and forward, somewhat he stabilized. One day my husband was going through his cupboard and he observed some powder in the cupboard. So driven by curiosity that, you know, these kids have this fantasy of these powders and these pills that they pop. How bad can it be? Man ashrafa laha, he who peeps, he who gets close to it. So my husband said, let me taste it. And then she broke down. I said, sister, what has happened? She said, my son is now clean and my husband is now an addict. And my husband is a man of nobility and social standing. We cannot subject him to the places where we had to send our son to. In Fathul Bari, in the 13th volume on page 52, I read this myself and you can reference it according to the copy that I had. There is a quotation there mentioned of Ibn Uyayna on the strength of Khalaf ibn Hawshab. He says, كانوا يستحبون أن يتمثلوا بهذه الأبيات عند الفتن. That Imra' al-Qais, those who read Arabic would know who I'm referring to. There was one poem of his, and the pious used to read these couplets at the time of fitna. And Khalaf ibn Hawshab, who was a person who had narrated from many tabi'een, he says, we used to encourage people to understand the depth of this poetry and relate it to the times of fitna. Al-harbu awwalu ma takunu fitya, tas'a bi zinatiha li kulli jahuli, hatta idha ishtagalat wa shabba dhiramuha, wallat ajuzan ghayra dhati halili, shamta'a yunkaru lawnuha wa taghayyarat, makruhatan lishammi wattaqbili. The whole write-up is there, is very academic and very, very philosophical and intricate. But suffice to say, just to draw it close to understanding, that initially battle, fitna is like battle. When something new hits the market, everybody is curious. Let's get to know what's it all about. Al-harbu awwalu ma takunu fitya. It's young, it's attractive, it's a bride, propose, get up close. Hatta idha ishtaghalat wa shabba diramuha. But when you go onto that particular app and you start searching and you go deep in and it swallows you, you realize that no, this is not a young, beautiful, attractive bride, a seductive girl. This is an old age, frail woman. Shamta, black and white hair mix. Yunkaru lawnuha, you despise her complexion. Makruhatan lishammi wattaqbili, you wouldn't want to spend a moment in seclusion with her. So fitna in the beginning attracts you like a young, beautiful, you know, attractive bride. But as you get close up, you realize what is the condition. وَسَيُصِيبُ آخِرُهَا بَلَاءٌ وَفِتَنٌ. The latter part of this ummah will be gripped. Neither the economists nor the religious, nobody is predicting a brighter future tomorrow. Ask the economists, ask the religious, nobody is telling you tomorrow is better. In Bukhari Sharif, the narration is there, Zubair ibn Adi said, شَكَوْنَا إِلَىٰ أَنَسِ ibn مَالِكٍ مَا نَلْقَى مِنَ الْحَجَّاجِ. When we looked at the tyranny and the oppression of Hajjaj, we just didn't know how to reconcile with this. So we went to Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu and we said, what is all this happening on this earth? And Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu said, Isbiru, hang on folks, persevere. فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَأْتِي عَلَيْكُمْ زَمَانٌ إِلَّا وَالَّذِي بَعْدَهُ أَشَرُّ مِنْهُ حَتَّى تَلْقَوْا رَبَّكُمْ سَمِعْتُهُ مِنْ نَبِيِّكُمْ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمْ. I promise you, as challenging, as daunting as today is, it is better than tomorrow. As bleak as today is, it is better than tomorrow. Academically, in Fathul Bari, I was blown away by this write-up that the scholars of hadith have debated this point. وَقَدْ اِسْتَشْكَلَ هَذَا الْإِطْلَاقِ مَعَ أَنَّ بَعْضَ الْأَزْمِنَةِ تَكُونُ فِي الشَّرِّ دُونَ الَّتِي قَبْلَهَا. It was such an amazing write-up. And really, we need to read our texts. We need to access our books. We need to go and tap into our archives and see the words of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the scholars of hadith find it difficult to reconcile with the generalization, al-itlaq, the generalization that has been pronounced in this hadith. The hadith says every subsequent error would be more wicked than the previous error. Whereas the error of Hajjaj was riddled with tyranny, but was followed by the era of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. And Umar ibn Abdul Aziz was an era of peace and justice. So how do we reconcile? And subhanallah, wa ajaba ba'duhum bi anna asr al-hajjaj kana fihi kathirun min as-sahaba. And the answer to this apparent dichotomy is, the apparent contradiction is, that as challenging as the era of Hajjaj was, it was rich with sahaba. And an era in which Sahaba are alive, without doubt, is a greater era than a period in which they are less Sahaba. So as turbulent as the period were, you could meet a veteran of Badr, you could meet a participant of Uhud, you could nudge a man who swore the allegiance at Bay'atul Ridwan, you could meet all these great, great luminaries, legends and august humans. But as time moved on, and this is the challenge of today, that apart from the doom and gloom, those that can steer this ummah have been reduced to few numbers. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, every era that is to come is worse than the previous era. لا أعني أميرا خيرا من أمير ولا عاما خيرا من عام ولكن علماؤكم وفقهاؤكم يذهبون ثم لا تجدون منهم خلفا. When I say the latter would be worse than the previous, I'm not referring that economically or socially or financially. I'm saying your scholars will move on and they will pass away. And every giant will take with him a chunk of knowledge and the entire earth won't able to produce or substitute that scholar. And today we see this has happened in the world. So, Shah Waliullah Muhaddith Dahlawi, I was reading some of his write-up and I was just blown away by this here. He says, اعلم أن الفتن على أقسام. There are many types of fitna that would grip the world. منها فتنة الرجل في أهله وماله. The first type of fitna that would grip a person, seize a person, is fitna in his personal capacity. في أن يقسو قلبه. The effect of that is his heart will become hard. Now, my brothers, you see the carnage that is happening in the world. So much is happening, and I cannot tear. I'm not sure if that tragedy is so severe, or the fact that I cannot tear is worse than that. When Sayyidina Uthman was brutally assassinated, Tabaqat ibn Sa'd, Abu Humayd al-Sa'idi, who was a veteran of Badr, he said, "Oh my Lord, I never thought I would live to see this." There are many prophecies I have read in the hadith, and I read when I studied, I never thought I would be the unfortunate victim of that era. But lo and behold, it has unfolded before us. Allahumma inna laka alayya alla af'al wala af'al wala adhaku hatta alqaak. Oh my Allah, I had to see such a painful day that a man like Uthman was assassinated. I vow to you, my Allah, I will never laugh, smile, or chuckle till the day I die. This is when the heart was soft, when it was receptive. Fitnatul Rajuli, the second one, I'm just going to briefly run time, you don't have the luxury of time. Fitnatul Rajuli, fi ahlihi wa malihi wa waladihi. Then would be the second fitna that would seize and grip a man in his family structure. وَهِيَ فَسَادُ تَدْبِيرِ الْمَنْزِلِ. There will be mayhem in the social structure. There will be chaos in his family life. Imam Bayhaqi records the hadith on the strength of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud and Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhuma. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, يَأْتِي عَلَى النَّاسِ زَمَانٌ. A time would grip mankind. يَكُونُ هَلَاكُ الرَّجُلِ. A man will lose his faith and iman because of his partner and his children and his family. O Nabi of Allah, but they are the most beloved to us. يُعَيِّرُونَهُ بِالْفَقْرِ وَيُكَلِّفُونَهُ مَا لَا يُطِيقُ. How, O Nabi of Allah, his family and his kids will put such financial burdens upon him, which will be beyond his economic muscle. They would make it clear to him, either you deliver and you stay in this house, make or break, do or die. And if you don't deliver, don't consider yourself to be the father or the husband of this house. فَيَدْخُلُ مَدَاخِلَ الَّتِي يَذْهَبُ فِيهَا دِينُهُ. A brother said to me, I took my family on a holiday, so I thought I'll treat my young boy to a business class flight. He said, now we sit in economy and he sits in business. He would resort to avenues to generate that revenue to appease his family, which would be illegitimate, illicit, impermissible, and unlawful. In doing so, his faith will leave him and he will abandon his iman. Minha fitna, Shawliyullah writes, then will come the fitna, tamuju ka mawjil bahri, which will rage and roar like the rough waters and the tides in the oceans. Imam Bukhari and Muslim record the hadith. Shaqiq rahmatullah alayhi says, we heard it from Huzaifa ibn Yaman. Huzaifa ibn Yaman says, we were sitting with Umar ibn Khattab radiyallahu anhu. He said, ayyukum yahfadhu haditha rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam anil fitna. Any one of you has a clue regarding the fitna that the Nabi of Allah predicted and prophesied that would happen? So Huzaifa ibn Yaman said, ana ahfadh, I know very well. So Umar radiyallahu anhu said, hati innaka lajari. Okay, give it to us, share it with us, you're very brave. The scholars of hadith have debated, was this a criticism being leveled or was this a praise that was being conferred on him? But it's academic and we don't want to go into that. Hati innaka lajari. Oh, that's very brave of you. Nobody else recalls but you. Or the other side, flip the coin, is mashallah, after all, your intelligence was phenomenal and who else could be but you? I was saying to someone, people who don't understand the World Cup or don't understand football, I'm talking about myself maybe, but anybody else, you'll find a man who will brainstorm and he will apply himself to try and understand the depths and the intricacies and how it happens. Break your head and try and understand one ayah of the Quran. Break your head, even if you don't, وَهُوَ يَتَتَعْتَعْ فِي الْقُرْآنِ. Even if you grapple and battle, but it is time well spent. So Sayyidina Huzaifa said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, fitnatul rajuli fi ahlihi wa malihi wa waladihi wa jarihi, yukaffiruha as-siyamu wa as-salatu wa as-sadaqatu wa al-amru bil ma'ruf wa an-nahyu 'anil munkar. That a man would be gripped by fitna in his family, his neighborhood, his children, his wealth, and the only atonement and expiation of those offenses would be by offering prayer, by observing fast, by inviting towards good and forbidding from evil. Sayyidina Umar said the hadith of Bukhari, Laysa hadha urid. No, you didn't understand me. I'm not referring to this. Innama uridu allati tamuju kamawjil bahr. I'm referring to those fitnas that will rock the planet. I'm referring to those fitnas that would grip and seize the entire earth. So Huzayfa ibn Yaman said, Laysa alayk ma laka walaha ya amir al-mu'mineen. Surely you are spot on that the Nabi of Allah prophesies those fitnas. But Umar, what have you to worry about those fitnas? That's got nothing to do with you. Bainaka wa bainaha baban mughlaqa. There is a partition, there is a barrier, there is a door, there is something shielding you and that fitna. So Umar radiallahu anhu said, Yuksaru al-bab am yuftah. Are we looking like this door going to be open one day, or will it be shattered and dropped? So Huzayfa ibn Yaman said, unfortunately, yuksar, it will be broken. So Umar radiallahu anhu replied, Dhaka ahra alla yughlaq. Then I doubt this door would ever be repaired. So Shaqiq said, we asked Huzayfa radiallahu anhu, Akana Umar ya'lamu manil bab? Did Sayyidina Umar have any clue who was referred to in this door? He said, yes. Ya'lam kama anna duna ghadin layla. Just as he knew that every day is preceded by a night, with the equal conviction he knew who was referenced to in this door. But we were not sure, so we asked Masruq Muhaddith to ask Huzayfa manil bab. He said, the door was Sayyidina Umar himself. The door was, there's a hadith I was reading in Fathul Bari. Someone came and told Khalid radiallahu anhu that the fitnas have come out. He said, fitna wabnul khattabi hayyun? No. My brother, you want to go back to the drawing board. Those fitnas can't rock the planet while Umar is alive. And then we live in an era that people despise this giant Umar. Shawaliullah writes, when he says fitna, in the commentary of this hadith, it is mentioned, under tamuju kamawj al-bahr, kana bithalika an kathrati al-mukhasama. What was the reference? That there would be turbulence, there would be skirmishes, there would be battles, there would be fitan upon fitan in this ummah. He writes under this, وَهِيَ فَسَادُ تَدْبِيرِ الْمَدِينَةِ. Not one home would be in chaos, one society, one entire nation would be in mayhem. And what is that? طَمْعُ النَّاسِ فِي الْخِلَافَةِ مِنْ غَيْرِ إِسْتِحْقَاقِ. People will be aspiring for leadership. Make me in charge. Every man's slogan, from a micro to a macro level, from a simple to the global stage, اجعلني على خزائن الأرض إني حفيظ عليم. Appoint me, nominate me, delegate me, select me. In تيسير الكريم المنان في سيرة عثمان بن عفان, on page 20, there's an incident mentioned there. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was in his fatal illness. He called Sayyidina Uthman and he said, I'm going to dictate the name of the Khalifa after my demise. So Sayyidina Uthman writes, and he's the scribe. And just as Sayyidina Abu Bakr is about to dictate the name of his successor, he passes out and he becomes unconscious. An ideal time to exploit and interfere. That, you know what, you were in a coma, you had no clue what you said. There's legal action, we got recourse. This is what you dictated. So at that, look at how Allah tested them, but these were clean people, these were genuine people. Just at that time, Sayyidina Abu Bakr passes out. So Sayyidina Uthman fills in the form himself, and he writes the name, I gave you the reference of where I've read it, he writes the name of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. So when Abu Bakr gains consciousness, katabt, have you recorded, have you captured? He said, yes. Isma man, whose name? He said, I wrote the obvious name after you, Umar ibn Khattab, who else? Qala Abu Bakr munsharih as-sadri. Abu Bakr said, this is such a peaceful way to pass away, knowing very well that there's no rivalry in this ummah for position. And then, after the period of Sayyidina Umar, Allah gave that khilafah to Sayyidina Uthman. Lamma qada sadiqu Ahmad nahbahu. دفع الخلافة للإمام الثاني أعني به الفاروق فرق بين الحق والباطل ومضى وخل الأمر شورى بينهم في الأمر فاجتمعوا على عثمان من كان يسهر ليلة في ركعة فيكمل ختمة القرآن والويل للركب الذين سعوا إلى عثمان فاجتمعوا على العصيان ويل لمن قتل الحسين فإنه قد باء من مولاه بالخسران لسنا نكفر مسلما بكبيرة والله ذو عفو وذو غفران. In that the poet communicates this transmission of nubuwat and khilafat. When Sayyidina Uthman, when this verse was revealed, الذين إن مكناهم في الأرض أقاموا الصلاة وآتوا الزكاة وأمروا بالمعروف, a verse of the 17 Jews. And each Khalifa lived up to this picture that was painted, that the Khulafa are those, if ever Allah gives them power and authority, they will not abuse, they will not exploit, there will be no embezzlement of funds, they will honor it diligently. Sayyidina Uthman used to say, ثَنَاءٌ قَبْلَ بَلَاءٍ. Allah is praising us before testing us, lauding us before subjecting us, complimenting us before testing us. So then, Shawliyullah writes, I'm running through it briefly, وَمِنْهَا فِتْنَا مُسْتَطِيرًا. Then there will be a fitna that will grip mankind. And what would be that? تَغَيُّرُ النَّاسِ مِنَ الْإِنسَانِيَّةِ, where mankind would be stripped of his human instinct. And people will reduce themselves to animalistic behavior. You hear of Allahu Akbar, incest, you hear of rape, you hear of juvenile murders, you hear of bestiality. What and what don't we hear? لَيَأْتِيَنَّ عَلَىٰ أُمَّتِي كَمَا أَتَىٰ عَلَىٰ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ حَذْوَ النَّقْلِ بِالنَّقْلِ حَتَّى إِنْ كَانَ مِنْهُمْ مَنْ أَتَىٰ أُمَّهُ عَلَانِيَةً لَكَانَ فِي أُمَّتِي مَنْ يَصْنَعُ ذَلِكَ. In this time, there would be people that would perpetrate the heinous crime of incest by sleeping with their biological mothers. And when this will happen, the next fitna, Shawliyullah writes, then will come the tornadoes, then will come the quakes, then will come the tsunamis. Very recently in Africa, perhaps you're following news, there was an earthquake. And let me tell you, I was grateful to Allah, I was sitting and reading hadith, and I literally seen that kabat jolt, I seen it literally rock. And this hadith came to mind. While we describe and hype up the signs of qiyamah, make no mistake, the actual moment would be sudden. So there would be a gradual build-up, but it's not the day that qiyamah is going to happen. There'll be an announcement. No buses will be operating. No coaches on track. Please stay indoors. We're expecting a major event at 8 o'clock. We'll keep you posted. Watch social media. No. وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ, I swear by Allah, in whose control is my life. إِنَّ الرَّجُلَيْنِ يَتَبَايَعَانِ, buyer and seller would be in a transaction. لَيَنْشُرَانِ الثَّوْبِ, a piece of cloth would be put on the counter, and they would be debating the price. فَمَا يَطْوِيَانِهِ, before they conclude it, they would be this awful cry, and it would be qiyamah. وَإِنَّ الرَّجُلَ لَيَمْدُرُ حَوْذَهُ يُصْلِحُهُ بِالطِّينِ الْمُتَمَاسِكِ, and a man would be doing the final touches of his new home. He would be just busy plastering the pond and concluding the final bits of his pool. Tomorrow we're moving on, and no human would ever put his foot in there. وَإِنَّ الرَّجُلَ لَيَحْلُبُ نَاقَتَهُ, and your camel would be at home and you would be milking it, but nobody would lift that vessel to his mouth, and it will be qiyamah. وَمِنْهَا نَزْعُ الْعَمَانَةِ عَنْ سُدُورِ الرِّجَالِ. Then would come this period where there would be nothing like trust, honesty, transparency. It would be gone. The hadith is there. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was describing qiyamah. إِذْ جَاءَ أَعْرَابِيٌّ, a villager came. مَتَ السَّاعَةُ, O Nabi of Allah, when is this qiyamah happening? So he sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِذَا ضُيِّعَتِ الْأَمَانَةُ, when trust would be exploited, abused, people will commit a breach in a trust. O Nabi of Allah, when would that happen? إِذَا وُسِّدَ الْأَمْرُ إِلَىٰ غَيْرِ أَهْلِهِ, when undeserving people will aspire for position and they would be given that particular post and position, then consider qiyamah at your door. Briefly, I run you through few extracts of the life of Umar in terms of his honesty and transparency in the position in which he was ruling. And we can draw this home to a simple, basic, micro level. We don't have to elevate it to the global stage. Look in our personal life in terms of honesty, loyalty, fidelity, transparency. It's absent. I say this in many of my marriage talks. How many men spend lavishly on their wives? Not because they're generous, but they're trying to appease the guilt that kills them because of their infidelity in the absence of their wife. So the man is coming home not out of kindness, but he cannot look his wife in her eyes because he knows what those gazes do in the late hours of the night. And it is not a thumb suck, and there's not a shot in the dark. I'm talking of what I'm personally dealing with. So he gives generously. He's trying to appease that guilt that is eating him. Amana will be gone. It will be absent. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu becomes ill. The physicians prescribe that honey is the way for your cure. In the Baytul Mal, there was a vial of honey. He gathers everybody. He said, I am ill. They have suggested I must take some honey. If there is collective consensus that I can have a teaspoon, then I will take it. But if anybody declines, I will not impose and I will not take the medication. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, Ibn Abi Dunya makes mention of it. He dispatches a group to Syria. And in those people, he sent a message to Abdurrahman ibn Auf. They tell Abdurrahman ibn Auf, I need some financial aid. I'm looking at about 4,000 dirhams. As soon as I have it, I will repay him. So the envoy communicates the sentiments of Umar radiallahu anhu to Abdurrahman ibn Auf. So Abdurrahman ibn Auf very casually says, قُلْ لِأَمِيرِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ لِيَأْخُذْهَا مِنْ بَيْتِ الْمَالِ ثُمَّ لِيَرُدَّهَا. Tell Umar, I must send the money from Sham. By the time he gets it and all this transfer and the rest of it, he can just borrow the money from the national treasury. When he has it, he can repay it. فَلَمَّا رَجَعَ الرَّسُولُ, when the envoy returns, he bounces off the sentiments of Abdurrahman ibn Auf to Sayyidina Umar. شَقَّ ذَلِكَ عَلَى Umar. There's a frown on the forelock of Umar radiallahu anhu. But he makes a mental note and he moves on. Subsequently, he meets up with Abdurrahman ibn Auf. He said, أَنْتَ الْقَائِلُ لِيَأْخُذْهَا مِنْ بَيْتِ الْمَالِ. So were you the brave man who said, I must take the money from the national treasury? Yeah, I did say it. I didn't mean to deny you. I just said for purposes of ease. Umar said, and then I would have taken it. And then I would have passed away without paying it. And then I guess you would say, دَعُوهَا لِأَمِيرِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. You can waive this. After all, he was the leader of the believers. Then who would rescue Umar on the day of Qiyamah? وَلَكِنْ أَرَدْتُ أَنْ أَخُذَهَا مِنْ رَجُلٍ حَرِيسٍ شَحِيحٍ مِثْلَكَ. But I wanted to take it from someone who is particular about his wealth, that if I don't repay it, he claims it from my estate. And I'm referring to you, O Sayyidina Abdurrahman radiallahu anhu. Some wealth came into Medina. So Hafsa radiallahu anha comes to Sayyidina Umar. She's the daughter of Sayyidina Umar, the consort of Nabi alayhi salam. She has two feathers on her cap. Being the daughter is one, being the spouse of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was a different honor and privilege. She says, oh my dad, you've got this wealth. Inna Allah awsa bil aqrabin. Allah says, you must be kind to your relatives. And after all, I'm your daughter. So Sayyidina Umar said, Inna Allah awsa bil aqrabin min mali. Amma hadha fa fay'ul muslimin. Ghashashti abaki ya Hafsa. Listen, my daughter, I understand Islam. Allah has ordained and impressed upon me kindness and goodness to my... Now today you look at nepotism in our circles, in our institutions. There's barely anyone free of it. Oh Hafsa, Allah has impressed upon me, I must be kind to my relatives from my own wealth, not the wealth of the Ummah. This is not your father's wealth. Ibn Abi Dunya makes mention on the strength of Abdullah ibn Arqam. He said, we had some spoils from a place called Jalula. So I came to Sayyidina Umar, I said, we have the spoils of war, you want to advise how to disseminate and distribute? Umar radiallahu anhu said, إِذَا رَأَيْتَنِي فَارِغًا, when you see one day I'm not so busy, come to me and then we will sit and dissolve this year. So one day I seen there was a bit of a gap and an opening. I went up. I said, Umar, can we spare some time? He said, go for it. So anyway, he said, Ubsutli nita'an. Spread the tablecloth. The cloth was spread. فَأُفِيضَ الْمَالُ عَلَيْهِ. The wealth was put on there. And then he said, such a profound statement. He said, such a profound statement. He said, Allahumma innana la nastati'u illa an nafraha bima zayyanta lana. Allah, we have no choice but to be impressed by something you have adorned for us. We have no choice. As humans, it's intrinsic. It's inherent. It's inborn to us. So wealth is attractive. Allahumma faj'alna nunfiquhu fi haqqin. Allah, give us the ability to spend this wealth that in a manner that pleases you. فَجَاءَ بِإِبْنٍ لَهُ يُحْمَلْ يُقَالُ لَهُ عَبْدُ الرَّحْمَنُ بْنُ بَهِيَّةِ. Just then one of his sons were brought in, which was born to him from the slave girl Bahiyya. The little boy said, "Dad, why are you distributing? Can I ask for a simple basic ring from all this wealth and beauty that is displayed before you?" He said, "Idhhab ila ummika tasqika sawiqa." Go to your mom and tell her to give you porridge or cereal. This is not your father's wealth. This is not your father's wealth. We can continue speaking about it. Some musk came into Medina. So Sayyidina Umar needed to distribute it. He said, "Lawadittu anni wajadtu imra'atan hasanat al-wazni." I wish I could find a woman who has the ability to distribute this fragrance and this musk in a manner that it is fair and just. So his wife, Atika bint Zayd bin Amr bin Nufail radiyallahu anha, she volunteered. She says, "Umar, I have the ability. You know I'm your spouse." So he said, no, I know you're my spouse." And she was a woman of exceptional beauty. And the tale is very long how he wedded her. It's amazing. But be it as it may, she volunteered her skills. Sayyidina Umar declined. So she said, "Why are you taking exception to my abilities?" He said, "While you will be distributing the musk, perhaps there would be some musk left on your fingers. And inadvertently you would apply it on the temples of your forehead. In doing so, you will have more than the general woman of Medina." نَزْعُ الْأَمَانَ مِنْ سُدُورِ الرِّجَالِ. And let me halt and interject and objectively digress at this place. The Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, before Qiyamah, سَتَرَوْنَ أَثَرَ. You will see discrimination. You will see nepotism. You will see exploitation. You will see all this blatant and brazen. قَالُوا فَمَا تَأْمُرُنَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. O Nabi of Allah, how do we immunize ourselves? How do we inoculate? How do we fortify? أَدُّوا إِلَيْهِمْ حَقَّهُمْ وَسَلُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّكُمْ. Listen, whoever you owe a due to, discharge your due to him. And what is owed to you, ask it from Allah. This is not only in a political context. The ayat I recited, وَجَعَلْنَا بَعْضَكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ فِتْنَةً. You must read in the tafsir of Uthmani in the footnotes what's mentioned. We've made one human a trial for another human. We've made one a test for another. And it's mentioned there, O Nabi of Allah, the disbelievers are there to test your perseverance and you are there to test their submission. In every context there's this, you can apply this. And then the Quran said, "Atasbirun," will you jointly persevere? وَكَانَ رَبُّكَ بَصِيرًا. Allah is watching who's persevering and who's inflicting. Hence the one who's persevering will be rewarded and the one who's inflicting will be subjected to retribution. وَمِنْهَا التَّعَمُّقْ فِي تَأْوِيلَاتِ مُتَشَابِهَاتِ الْقُرْآنِ. Then will come a fitna where people with no knowledge, not with cursory knowledge. You see, the Quran says this and so amazing. Sometimes you get into a debate with a man and he's not well read, but he's well traveled. He's a seasoned traveler. Like one brother told me, he said, "Sheikh, some people have attitude problems. The way you fly, I think you have an altitude problem." So he's a seasoned traveler. He travels a lot. So because he relies on his extensive travels, he wants to kick up an argument with everyone. No. But I see this in Africa. But I seen this here in this location. But I've met with these people. He needs to tell the world I'm well traveled. And then he wants to argue. Then you get another man who's sitting in his simple location. He hasn't got much, but he's self-tutored. He's read a lot. So he's always has robust debates and discussions and he wants to argue and stimulate and combat and counter. Whether they have a leg to stand on or not is irrelevant. I want to say something beyond. Then you get the man who's not well-schooled, not tutored, not educated, not traveled, not read, and he still wants to argue. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يُجَادِلُ فِي اللَّهِ بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ وَلَا هُدًى وَلَا كِتَابٍ مُنِيرٍ. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يُجَادِلُ. He has no leg to stand on. He's got no teeth to bite. Literal and metaphorical. And he wants to argue. وَمِنْهَا التَّعَمُّقِ. People will start going into the ambiguities of the Qur'an, going to the intricacies of the Qur'an. And the Quran says, وَمَا يَعْلَمُ تَأْوِيلَهُ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Allah said, "I've only revealed it to test you how much you can believe. You have no idea what it means. You have no idea and I have not revealed it. The meaning is unknown. The reason of its revelation is to see your compliance. But people will try and get into it. No, I've bounced this off. I've referenced this. I've read this. I've come across this. I've heard this. I've Googled. My word. Imam Hakim makes mention of the narration in Mustadrak. Someone came to the giant Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiyallahu anhuma. He said, two verses of the Quran, I see this apparent contradiction. Can you help me reconcile? Fi yawmin kana miqdaruhu alfa sana. Fi yawmin kana miqdaruhu khamsina alfa sana. So there's this one day of Qiyamah equivalent to 50,000 years. And there's Allah also refers to this day of Qiyamah as 1,000. Ka'alfi, ka'alfi. So academically, from the grammar, ka and tashbih, and there's a host of answers given. In essence, Allah refers to Qiyamah for the average person to appreciate, and I don't want to raise it above your understanding. The Qiyamah has been referred to as 50,000 years or 1,000 years. Ka'alfi sana. Now, there's great explanation given. Somebody asked Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma reconcile. He said, Huma yawmani dhakarahum Allahu fi kitabihi, Allahu a'lamu bihima wa akrahu an aqula fi kitabillahi ma la a'lam. Imam Hakim has narrated this. He said, these are 2 days. Allah has categorically mentioned it in the Quran. He knows best. How dare I blurt what I don't know? Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. I was reading the saying of someone. He said, it took me many years to realize how easy it is to say, I don't know. It took me many years to realize how easy it is to say, I don't know. And then what would happen? وَمِنْهَا سَبُّ شُيُوعُ سَبِّ السَّلَفِ الصَّالِحِ. What would be the order of the day? Speaking ill, condescending remarks of the scholars, making nasty remarks, just blowing it out of proportion. Some people believe that their religious contribution is to speak ill of scholars. No, I'm active, I'm hands-on, we mobilize in what you do. I've exposed that one, I put the light on that one, I'm taking that one to the cleaners. That's my contribution to deen. We're living in a very, very challenging time, my brothers. For many people, the benchmark of piety and the acceptance of an individual is how much social hits he has on his Facebook page. Is that the benchmark of acceptance? No, he's a great scholar. Great will be Qiyamah, my brother. Great will be Qiyamah. Qiyamah will decide. The Nabi of Allah is sitting, and then Abu Dharr Ghifari passes by, and Jibreel is in the form of Dihya Kalbi. And then Jibreel makes a remark, alayhi salam, hada Abu Dharrin, law sallam alayna laradadna alayhi. There your companion Abu Dharr went by. I guess he didn't recognize me. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Jibreel, you know Abu Dharr? Walladhi ba'athaka bilhaqqi nabiyya. I swear by that Allah who has made you his Nabi. Abu Dharr is more famous on the heavens than the earth. We talk about him there more often. Social media gives you recognition or not. They put you on Facebook or not. When Sayyidina Yunus was swallowed by the whale, Ibn Rajab Hanbali has made mention of it, and that's where I read it. So Allah asked the malaika, you know who's making this dua to me from the depth of the ocean? So the angels gave an amazing answer. They said, Sawtum ma'roof min biladin ghariba. We're familiar with the voice, but not the location. We know that voice, but that place, now I've never been there. So Allah said, this is my servant Yunus. So all the malaika said, Allah, we know this voice every day. Accept our intercession and rescue him. I ask a young boy today, when you're in a crisis, who knows it? The girls know it. The clubs know it. The pubs know it. The malaika don't know that voice. Familiarize yourself to the malaika and familiarize yourself to that pure celestial creation of Allah. So then what would happen before Qiyamah? People would speak ill. Abu Hanifa, driven by logic. Driven by logic, my brother. Somebody came to me and said, no, what you telling me? Imam Abu Hanifa was born in India. I said, hey, my brother. لَقَدْ زَانَ الْبِلَادَ وَمَنْ عَلَيْهَا لَقَدْ زَانَ الْبِلَادَ وَمَنْ عَلَيْهَا إمام المسلمين أبو حنيفة بأحكام وآثار وفقه كآيات الزبور في الصحيفة فما بالمشرقين له نظير ولا بالمغربين ولا بكوفة فرحمة ربنا أبدا عليه مدى الأيام ما قرئت صحيفة. Go knock the door of Muhammad bin Idris al-Shafi'i. He said, nobody has decorated the planet like Abu Hanifa has adorned the earth. لَقَدْ زَانَ الْبِلَادِ وَمَنْ عَلَيْهَا إِمَامُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ أَبُو حَنِيفَ. With what? With ornaments, with wealth, with embellishments? بِأَحْكَامٍ وَآثَارٍ وَفِقْهٍ. Juristic rulings, Islamic deductions, prophetic explanations. كَآيَاتِ الزَّبُورِ فِي الصَّحِيفَةِ. He said, I traveled the world, I went to the east and the west. I was searching, I couldn't see a replica of Abu Hanifa. So I said, let me go back to his birthplace. Maybe that land is rich. But even that land became barren. They couldn't repeat another Abu Hanifa. They gave birth once and they said, that's it. فَمَا بِالْمَشْرِقَيْنِ لَهُ نَذِيرٌ. And then you want to sit and say he was like that, and it's a thumbsack, and it's a shot in the dark, it's Rajman Bilghaib. Oh my Allah, where have we come, my Allah? In what error has our eyes opened up? And then he said, وَمِنْهَا فِتْنَا. Then will come a fitna. إِسْتِحْلَالُ الْفُرُوجِ. Where people will legitimize zina. No, you can party, you can have this. The narration, one narration on the strength of Abu Hurairah, the Nabi of Allah said, قِيَامَةُ will not come حَتَّى تُؤْخَذَ الْمَرْأَةُ نَهَارًا جِهَارًا فِي وَسَطِ الطَّرِيقِ. A woman would be abducted in broad daylight. She will be taken off the main road, and she would be taken, and a man would openly rape her, and a man would openly abuse her. فَيَكُونُ أَمْثَلُهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ. The noblest of that time would be the one who would say, لَوْ نَحَّيْتَهَا عَنِ الطَّرِيقِ قَلِيلًا. Listen, brother, what you doing? Can you just move off the road? We want to pass. You can do it slightly on the left side. These are the words of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imam Hakim has mentioned, and he says, Sahihul Isnad. You can reference it. He would say, brother, can you just move aside and do it, please? We want to walk. And Nabi alayhi salam said, the one who will have the courage to say that, he will be the Abu Bakr and Umar of that time. فَيَكُونُ أَمْثَلُهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ أَلَّذِي يَقُولُ لَوْ نَحَّيْتَهَا عَنِ الطَّرِيقِ قَلِيلًا فَذَاكَ فِيهِمْ مِثْلَ أَبِي بَكْرٍ وَعُمَرٍ فِيكُمْ. وَإِسْتِحْلَالِ الْخُمُورِ. And people will legitimize the consumption of intoxicants and alcoholism. بِإِسْمِ تَأْوِيلِ النَّبِيرِ. What they will say, these are energy drinks. Energy bar. It didn't ferment. And then إِسْتِحْلَالُ الْمَعَازِفِ بِتَسْلِيَةِ الْخَاطِرِ. Enjoy music, indulge and party, rave and club. And why? We just want to tranquilize ourselves. It is therapeutic, Sheikh. وَمِنْهَا إِرْتِفَاعُ الْأَمْنِ فِي مَا بَيْنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. And then what would happen? The Nabi of Allah said, peace, honor, and respect and dignity would leave this ummah. حَتَّى يَقْتُلْ بَعْضُهُمْ رِقَابَ بَعْضٍ. Where one will actually kill the neck of his own brother. Ibn Asakir makes mention of the narration. I've read it myself. Whatever I've said, I've referenced it myself, and I'm sharing it for you so academically you can see it yourself and you have basirat and conviction on what has been said. Ibn Asakir has mentioned it. Hasan Basri says, I came to the masjid in Basra. فَإِذَا أَنَا بِنَفَرٍ مِّنْ أَصْحَابِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. There was a group of Sahaba. يَتَذَاكَرُونَ زُهْدَ أَبِي بَكْرٍ وَعُمَرَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا. They were speaking about the great era of Abu Bakr and Umar. وَمَا فَتَحَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمَا. And how Allah had given them victory and Allah had given them recognition and fame. فَدَنَوْتُ مِنَ الْقَوْمِ. As I came up close, فَإِذَا فِيهِمْ أَحْنَفِ ابْنِ قَيْسَ التَّمِيمِ. Among them was أَحْنَفِ ابْنِ قَيْسَ التَّمِيمِ. So أَحْنَفِ ابْنِ قَيْسَ التَّمِيمِ said, أَخْرَجَنَا عُمَرُ بْنُ الْخَطَّابِ فِي سَرِيَّةٍ إِلَى الْعِرَاقِ. Umar radiallahu anhu had dispatched us one to Iraq. فَفَتَحَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا الْعِرَاقِ. Allah gave us victory. وَبُلْدَ فَارِسِ and the neighboring towns of Persia. فَأَصَبْنَا فِيهَا مِنْ بَيَاضِ فَارِسِ وَخُرَاسَانِ. We got some spoils of the war. We brought the beautiful clothing home. We cleared ourselves. And we were all happy. We had victory. We had spoils. We had wealth. We had everything going good. فَأَتَيْنَا عُمَرُ. We came to Sayyidina Umar رضي الله عنه. Good news, always good. فَأَعْرَضَ عَنَّا بِوَجْهِهِ وَجَعَلَ لَا يُكَلِّمُنَا. So as we walked into Medina to greet Umar, he gives us a cold shoulder. So Sahaba was Sahaba. There was a time where a polite aversion from a mentor was adequate to rehabilitate the disciple. But today you turn your face, the sun will snub you the other way. I don't need this in my life. So we came out of there, we said, now what's this? One was to argue and say, but why is Umar giving us this cold shoulder? We went, we fought, we strove, we earned, and now Umar gives us this cold shoulder. So we went to Abdullah ibn Umar. فَشَكَوْنَا إِلَيْهِ مَا نَزَلَ بِنَا مِنْ أَمِيرِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. We say, oh Abdullah ibn Umar, we went to your dad. He didn't welcome us. He was hostile. He wasn't receptive. Any idea why? What did we do wrong? He said, إِنَّ أَمِيرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَأَى عَلَيْكُمْ لِبَاسًا لَمْ يَرَى رَسُولَ اللَّهِ يَلْبَسُهُ. Must I spell it to you? Umar never seen the Nabi of Allah wearing this exclusive clothing that you are wearing. Hence, Umar's eyes can't digest this. Now one is to say, yeah, but what's wrong? But Allah gave it to me. But who are you to tell me? But what? You got a bone to pick with me. Everything is contentious. No, this was a compliant nation. And in that was their success. And in that is our stumbling block. I mentioned yesterday, I was telling my youngsters, I said, you know, you people with these phones, a mobile phone in your hand is like a knife in a toddler's hand. So my eldest one says, you know what, Abu, that's a good idea for your talks. I said, I'll put it in my talk later, but you put it in your life now. Dad, that's a brilliant quotation for your talks. I said, leave that for later. Internalize it, apply it, exhibit it. فَأَتَيْنَا مَنَازِلَنَا. We came home. فَنَزَعْنَا مَا كَانَ عَلَيْنَا. We removed our clothes. We put on our regular clothing. And then we came to Sayyidina Umar. قَامَ يُعَانِقُنَا رَجُلًا رَجُلًا حَتَّى كَأَنَّهُ لَمْ يَرَنَا قَبْلَ ذَلِكَ. Umar gives us this warm embrace. He comes out. He hugs us. He embraces us. This jubilant flavor that has gripped the entire atmosphere. And the way he received us, as if nothing happened 10 minutes before. You see, this was the beauty of Sahaba. My heart is clean. There's an issue I have with you, not with you, but with that issue. Move the thorny issue and we're brothers. Anyway, I need to expedite things here. I see this clock is giving me some message. So amongst the things we had, we presented him some delicacies. We said, Umar, you want to have this here? We brought some sweet meat. فَذَاقَهُ عُمَرُ. Umar tasted it. فَوَجَدَهُ طَعْمَ الرِّيحِ. But he found it to be very tasty, very palatable, scrumptious. He said, please don't give me this food. Why? لَيَقْتُلَنَّ مِنْكُمُ الْإِبْنُ أَبَاهُ وَالْأَخُ أَخَاهُ عَلَىٰ هَذَا الطَّعَامُ. This is such a delicacy. I can foresee in this ummah a time will come. A son will literally kill his father to lay his hands on food like this. And a brother will slay his sibling to procure amenities like this. Don't tarnish me with food. Go feed it to someone else. I try and draw my talk to a close and the fitnas will continue. What is the message? How do we insulate ourselves? The Nabi of Allah had cautioned us and he had warned us when he spoke about the fitna of Dajjal. He said, Dajjal will emerge on this earth. Wallahu khalifati ala kulli muslim. Allah is my deputy to every believer. Innahu shabbun qatatun bifathataini ala al-mashhur. He would be this young man, Dajjal. شَدِيدُ جُعُودَةِ الشَّعْرِ. His hair would be extremely curly. And let me give you a beautiful analogy of one of my scholars. May Allah preserve him. He said, don't be in the delusion and the deception that when you see Dajjal, curly hair, one-eyed, hey, you the wicked character, right? Yeah, like my Nabi told me, I better be careful. Hey, make a backstep. Who doesn't know that wealth is the fitna? Who doesn't know that zina is the fitna? You know the hadith, you read the hadith, but when someone lures you into, you say, my Nabi warned me? No, you fall hood, line and sinker into the fitna. Despite having all the knowledge and the theory, you tell a man, you know, you're smoking, it's bad. He said, Sheikh, I've read about it more than you know. But I cannot abandon it. The one guy says, I was reading the harms of cigarette. It was so bad, I gave up reading. And my dad always says, and may Allah bless him, he says, the tobacco industry can boldly print the harms of cigarettes, but yet not fear a drop in sale. Why? Because we've become an addicted nation. So you walk into the shop, can I have a pack of cigarette, please? Yeah, I'm looking for that one. They're the one that causes cancer, please. And then a woman walks in and it's apparent by her demeanor that she's on the family way. Can I have the one that's harmful for the fetus, please? Yeah, that's the exact one. Two packs, please. Thank you very much. What? Print the harms of cigarettes. Cover your back against any legal recourse. There's no litigation. But you know, this nation has become drunk and they are swallowed into it. They will see beyond it and they will not rest till they don't have it. Where have this ummah lost its values and society? So, what is the message? The Prophet ﷺ said, Dajjal will come, عَاثَ يَمِينَ عَاثَ شِمَالَ. He will cause mayhem and havoc on this earth. The Nabi of Allah said, and that's what I say to you in my last few words, يَا عِبَادَ اللَّهِ فَاثْبُتُوا. Ya ibadallah. O my ummah, if I'm there, I'll defend you. But if I'm not there, I beg you, stay firm. I beg you, stay firm. These were the words of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya ibadallah, fathbutu. There's a temptation on the net. There's a temptation with porn. There's a temptation with evil. There's a temptation with illicit relation. Ya ibadallah, fathbutu. Just to conclude the hadith of Umm Salma radiyallahu anha. She says, the Nabi of Allah awakens by night. He says, great fitna, great wealth has come down, great treasures. And coupled with that, he said, great fitnas has come. And then how did he respond to that? He said, مَنْ يُوْقِذُ صَوَاحِبَ الْحُجُرَاتِ. Would someone go and awaken my spouses and tell them to perform prayer? Prayer is the way to insulate, protect and fortify yourself. رُبَّ كَاسِيَةٍ فِي الدُّنْيَا عَارِيَةٍ أَوْ عَارِيَةٌ فِي الْآخِرَةِ. For many who are clad in this world will be deprived of any garment on the day of Qiyamah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He protect us against all these fitnas. While it's happening, let us not be the victims and let it not happen within our environment or our precincts. I leave you with two quotations that I read which are very thought stimulating. Someone said, your life is like a coin. You can spend it in any direction you want to, but you can only spend it once. Your life is like a coin. You can spend it and buy anything, but you can only spend it once. And the second quotation that I read that really stimulated me, they say, life is fragile. Handle with care.